that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Welcome to Love Lighthouse Podcast. And this broadcast, I'm going to tell you about, I'm actually adding this piece on. It's now 10:31 a.m. on Wednesday, the 7th of September, 2022. I'm adding this piece on because, would you believe, I have just experienced a real life experience, which I can talk about here. I will not name names, but I can talk about it here and share it as an important message as part of this. And the Holy Spirit never fails to amaze me, and this is why my faith continues to grow and deepen every single time, because with pinpointed accuracy, the Holy Spirit makes realizations and judgments in and through, and what's going on as well, and what's manifesting out there. So I didn't plan for it by mere human ego alone. In other words, this is something I want to tackle today. It is literally coming from what you might say subconscious. In other words, the spirit, the very spirit of me, the Holy Spirit coming up and through, and choosing more recently these different pieces of scripture. So the scripture came about for today's one, and it was with regards to marriage, and that came up. Well, it's been an interesting past few days, because I have actually had this happens to me a lot. It's it can be very quite spaced out in terms of who it is that comes to me, and the expectations they might have about me, or the respect they might show me, can be very varied depending on the relationship that they're having with God, or their lack thereof. And so what I have to put up with, I wouldn't wish on anyone sometimes. Because it can be deeply emotional. I'm meeting people and I really care about people, and like it says, love the enemy. Well, I'm able to do that as well. So there are people that are coming that are not of God. You know, they perhaps have a demonic attachment, perhaps are satanic or whatever. So they bring that lifestyle to me. And although they may be taking part in it, there may be, if they're demonic, or some might say, is it a neurological thing? Perhaps are they suffering a mental illness? And it can appear as either one or the other. What I'm about to tell you about today, the person will remain nameless, but the actual content of this was still yet to figure out whether they're actually a liar, an all-out liar on purpose, or whether there is a neurological thing going on. And we know that there can be different angles as well to look at things, but it's kind of pinpointed in terms of accuracy for judgment on what they've brought to me and brought to the fore. So this is a person that turned up to the rugby club. And they got my contact details because they wondered about, you know, if there was a photograph of what happened today. And of course, it was very, very well of him to kind of find and suss that out. So of course, there was, and I sent that off. I happened to do that for that day. I didn't actually take part in that way, but I was there, and I was leading up to taking part. in this particular type of event that happens out at the rugby club. So passed the information, passed that photo to them, and then they kept contact through that, and they were able to discern and take my phone number as well from that, from the WhatsApp message. And then they also sent me text messages as well. We had a lot of conversation, a lot of very good conversation. He seemed very positive in many ways, but he was coming off, kicking off as arrogant in many other ways. You know, putting me down with regards to sovereignty, trying to bolster others up, almost like a jealousy thing going on, trying to bolster up the governmental figureheads instead, you know, just playing people off against each other, that type of thing. So I had to experience that. A lot of kind of like quite mean sort of things that, you know, fortunately I was able to have a laugh at, but if I wasn't as strong as that, it could have been really quite hurtful. But I managed to kind of keep going with it all and gave him back what he was gonna put out to me. I said, oh well, you know, you'll get put in the Tower of London. That was his rude remark, but he got it back, of course. I said, you'll get put in there. It's gonna take more than a bunch of ravens or to set you free. So he did get it back, but as I say, to someone not as strong as myself, it could have been really quite hurtful or harmful. Nevertheless, we pushed on, and there was many good things that came as a result of having that kind of ability to communicate and understand that level of compassion and, as I say, love for the enemy or love for other people, care for them. So that's how I am, the way that I am. Some people would start world wars for the kind of things that can be said, whereas, you know, I have a lot of compassion. That shouldn't be abused, of course. So there's only so far that we can take things. And of course, that ended today. So you can hear that in my voice, perhaps, but I'm going to share this to help the wider community. I think I've done a lot as it is already, going through all of these situations, but now bringing it to light. So, this person had mentioned that they had a partner, and we continued to look at that. So as we met up, of course, it was on a very pure basis, and it's almost like being a priestess when someone is coming to you, they're speaking to you about these different things. Of course, it was getting to the point where the person wanted to meet up really quite a lot. He said he had debriefed his partner and she'd agreed all the rest of it, etc., etc. So it came to light more and more who exactly this partner was and how he was actually treating her. He would tell me that, you know, he was in such a relationship as to express that it was actually a sexual one. But no, he wasn't married to her. In fact, he laughed at me last night when I suggested, well, you actually are. You know, so there's a lot of laughing at that, and he did laugh before about it, even by text. actually going to have a look at it right now. I was like, yeah, no, you're married. And whether it's valid or not, it's another thing, because obviously if you're going around telling people, no, you're not married to them, but then you're kind of living in a way that would suggest that there's a lie going on, in other words. So there's a form of abuse. It's use. Let me see. Oh, yeah. I wrote, okay, you're married. Consummation is marriage. Staying together is marriage. So either one or other is required. He laughed at this, actually. And he says, oh, okay, I best tell her. She will be very surprised, in other words. No, he's not. Just see. All right. Yes, here we go. Oh gosh, I take it she's actually married to you. Sideways laugh. With tears coming out, he's replied, no, partner, exclamation mark. Why did I ever give you, did I ever give the impression we were married, question mark. Now today, after me pushing and pushing and pushing, welcome to my world, after me pushing and pushing and pushing, the point, after, you know, he's been saying, oh, no, no, we're not, we're definitely not, oh, but, you know, they had sex, a sexual relationship, oh, she's coming over, oh, no, they're not, and even laughing to me, as I say, verbally, on the phone last night, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, is this guy for real? Like, there's either some really wrong neurologically, God help us all, but God help him specifically, or, you know, it's an actual outright lie and he's just trying to manipulate. But the interesting thing is his so-called partner has the word lie in her name. Anyway, let's move on. So, like, okay. Yeah. Anyway, so he's chatting tons to me. There were some, like, kind of aspects of, you know, like, flirtation as well, like, talking about certain things coming from his end. But anyway, I'm like, okay. But of course, as women, we're relying on what this person is saying. When someone's saying a partner, and then they're saying, no, they're not married, no, they're this, they're that, they're doing that, and they're all over the place. And then they're reaching out to other women as well, and you're just like, okay, well, you know. I mean, I got to look at it as, well, I'm persona Christa here, can get all people coming to this light. So I do have to watch myself and be careful. And I do know that, as I say, I can attract all types. It just about, it got really bad last night as he started to express the potential to actually speak to my child. As he pumped himself up to be someone who has and sat and dined with royalty and this and that and the next thing, and worked with 600 odd troops and this and that, 500, 600 troops, and did this and did that, and was a leader of them. And I'm thinking, but that's kind of making it even worse, because, like, you're telling me that you're also abusing women. And at the same time, he then comes off and says, so if you need any help with regards to your daughter and someone to speak to, you know, because he's been told by, you know, people to come in and help when people have lost their weight. I thought, how the hell dare you? You're so hypocritical. I thought, the last thing I want when my child is a child of God, the last thing I want is to have to come in and mitigate any more nonsense from people that are abusing women. That is the last person on my list. I don't give a damn who the hell you think of governmental figureheadom you have sat and spoke to. You have actually spoken to real royalty here, and I put you in your place by telling you there's not a hope in hell that someone like you, who abuses women, laughs about not being married to them. If you think that's the kind of person that I want speaking to my child, you've got another thing coming. Stay far away. Oh my goodness, what a pompous, arrogant piece of nonsense he was. However, I did say, lovely to chat with you two. Thanks for your questions. I ultimately believe in the grace and love of God. My personal faith and value for life is just that. I comprehend conception deeply as being from God before a child is born. I do understand that for me, I'm not going to go on any further to that, but what I'll tell you is what I did say about, you know, because he says, oh, you and I, we believe in the same thing with regards to what's right and wrong. I thought, God, the hell, we don't. We do not have the same concept of right and wrong, though, at all. I do not believe that it is right to abuse or use someone sexually, and I am against males who do that to women. I won't judge them unless they give me full evidence. I am being called by God to execute. I don't think it's fair to you or the person you are or were with, or your future spouse or hers, to use each other and have a sexual relationship without being married in at least one form. Ultimately, I don't believe in less than God vows marrying for a family, but I understand why people get married ceremonially to try and prevent women from being taken advantage of, as I seemingly was, as far as my ex would admit. This is not fair on not only any family, but also on society and how it impacts it. God states that no whoremonger or fornicator will enter the kingdom of heaven and will suffer serious consequences. I believe this to be true and don't see why people do nasty things to others. I don't like unfair behaviour towards others, especially to women. In certain parts of India, abusers and rapists are hung in public. I think rape absolutely is wrong, and no form of sexual abuse is appropriate. But I can understand why people think of others and consider themselves. But I think that we even have to watch what we are doing mentally and how we think of others too, as concepts are important. We talk about conception from God. If a concept is not of God, that has deep consequences if we carry it forth. If a child conceived, of course, the child is always important, but the adults can impact the child, and so can the situation impact humanity. There is grace, of course, to help, but obviously, where it is done on purpose to harm, it is not fair or right. I believe in the respect and dignity of people. When I thought of the person I mentioned, we didn't carry out what we talked about, but the thoughts are powerful. Powerful to have him go outside at night thinking of us and wandering into it. It's powerful, but I need to know it's practical and it's from God. I know I'm married to God, and so anyone who comes to me and that has to be to somehow, he openly says he is not about God and argues against it. So without confession of belief, then, we cannot be married, cannot take that further, as it wouldn't be fair on me, him of our potential, God willing, future spouse. I have a very good almost video about this. The only thing is, the father says it, in parenthesis, sex, closed parenthesis, should be reserved for your future spouse. And I thought, damn, you've done it. That makes it sound like it's okay when they are not yet spouses. But I know he means, in other words, who you're meant to be with. Thank you with regards to situations, R.A. Lucy, but I can only have those upholding such values to be able to take any sort of important influential position. I'm sure you are very valuable in many ways, and I do believe you are great, but she is important to me, and we've already had to mitigate against certain influence. God will guide her, and of course, if I get married, my husband will lead that, as he will be a man of God and a good solid influence of appropriateness in how women should be treated. Thankfully, we've got the best in Christ so far. Thanks be to God. And I sent him these different videos. He did listen to them. He went on to randomly send me and many others some sort of a text regarding meeting up with some random man who was travelling around for charity to different clubs. Very random indeed. And then he then explained that he was forwarding it to me as well. Anyway, I just thought, you know, he's blatantly refusing to see what he's doing here and to take on board what I've said. I found it very rude. You know, I'm not going to say his name, but I'm very concerned at your lack of respect for what I have just said about respect for women. Have you read what I have said? Have you read what I have said? He said, and watched the videos. Trust me, I absorb everything you tell me, all going into my written character report with like a laughing sideways face. And I thought, not good. I didn't say his name, but you know. And he said that he made this slap across the face situation. Then he... of a, you know, emoticon. And then he put, I have complete respect for women. Greatest inspiration in my life was my mother. I thought, oh my gosh, what? I said, seriously, I protect my child and offspring. When I say I, well, that means God does through me in a multitude. It's vitally important you take on respect for people and especially acknowledge what I say. I'm talking about anyone who treats a woman that way. Respect for women is not using them as prostitutes. I'm not going to go into the entire situation. Now, bearing that in mind, he has said that he's definitely not married to the person. And shouldn't he, you know, so in other words, they don't have an agreement, he's just abusing and using the person. Laughed tons about it. And then he says, you've lost me. And other news is that the person's completing their business in the UK, is almost complete, and she'll be flying out in the next couple of days. We'll stand together for the minute silence at the Leinster match. I thought, what the hell? I was like, that sounds completely hypocritical. Now, bearing in mind, folks, that match, moment silence, is about an end to violence against women. In other words, like women that are abused by men doing what he's doing. I was just like, are you joking? This is just nuts. So obviously, I'm like, that sounds completely hypocritical. And he was like, I don't know why. I don't think she takes advantage of me and vice versa. I was like, so you're going to stand with someone you're abusing, using for sex for a moment's silence, are you, women who are being abused for sex and other forms of abuse, and the abuser you will stand with you? That sounds rather absurd and sick. So then he tried to get out of that by saying, oh, a relationship is more than sex. And I'm thinking, what in the goddamn, who is this? I was like, there is no relationship where someone abuses someone for sex. That's prostitution and abuse. If you will stand for silence, stay in silence and consider your actions. Also, any form of abuse is a bane on our society. That, though, is perhaps the most disrespectful. And on and on and on about what his past has entailed and how long he's gone without it, as if this is somehow justifying, like, when he does abuse folk. I just thought, what in God's name is this? Anyway, I said, no, but you have evidence that you are using that person for that whilst having no marital, in other words, in parenthesis, no agreement for their higher good. It doesn't make it any less violent because the woman has no sense of self-worth. It makes it worse. And then he went on to say, please don't tar us all with the same brush, as if I was actually doing that. I'm like, I'm not. You're evidencing yourself. I'm speaking only to you. It doesn't make it any less violent because the woman has no sense of self-worth. It makes it worse. It also does not render it right or a relationship. A prostitute is a prostitute and needs help, not abuse. And then he's like, in that case, please believe me when I say brains and friendship before sex any day. I'm like, sarcasm is not fair or appropriate. He says comparing a prostitute with a consensual wife partner is insulting. Hold the bus. Wait a minute, guys. See, we've just been hearing from someone that has been laughing and typing, laughing about the fact he's not married to this person, saying that he's had a sexual relationship with him, saying on the phone verbally, haha, we're not married, referring to that person. Now, in this moment, he then says at 8:30 a.m. through me pushing this point, comparing a prostitute with a consensual wife partner is insulting. Now, of course, that in a statement on its own is obviously quite adequate. But the fact is, we know that he's now trying to turn around this situation by pointing that as in to the person that he perhaps is with, because that is the flow of the conversation. That's the context of it. He's been talking about someone who he's not married to, and all of a sudden now he's saying yes. So he's either a compulsive liar, and this guy is really dangerous. Guys, I am going to warn you against this person if you think there's no real way you can get it, but really, because I haven't given any identification to who it is, but this is a really dangerous person and I would stay very far away from them. It is nuts. Reading it back, it is just nuts, let alone the verbal conversation we had last night. What he said is completely nuts. So that's what he said at 8:38 after laughing about the fact he's not married. Holy shiz. I was like, you have stated that you are not married and laughed about it last night by voice telephone. You said, we are not married, pertaining to the person you are mentioning having sex with. You laughed at me for suggesting it. You're insulting yourself and her and now attempting to insult me. We'll stop this conversation. You need to confess properly in repentance. I did later say, P.S. Judas does lie. You indeed do that. Goodbye. And then I realised, oh my gosh, today's, yeah, it's called a story just well, today's actual broadcast is all about just that, you know, the truth about marriage, all the rest of it, and the importance of not lying. Holy shizzle sticks, everybody. So I'm like, wowzer, this is something else. I was like, look, wow, hang on, before I go, would you believe it? Well, it's fact. And I sent him a link to this particular broadcast, and I was like, it recorded long before today, by the way, because it was, and you'll get to hear that there, and all the data on that will be available. And I was just like, I'm going to say, I'm not going to tell you, because this might give extra information, but I said goodbye in their other language. And ended it like that. I never like listened so much compulsive lying in my entirety. It is tough taking this stance. It's a sovereign stance. We have to understand that, yeah, there's only so much I can control. It is not my fault, being a sovereign, that he or other people might come to me with these abusive lies or nonsense, because despite the fact of having a sovereign will and the ability to to impact the world, there is also what is known as the satanic realm as well. And people have the will to choose to do the right thing by God and sovereign, the real sovereign, or to make idols out of other people, out of lies, out of, you know, doing the wrong thing against God, being satanic. They have a will to choose that. And of course, that's not very good. We try to mitigate and to do what we can by sharing things like this on Love Lighthouse, by constantly working on ourselves to doing better, to encouraging that throughout society, and sharing these things and bringing them to light. These are all helpful things to do, and standing in the light and remaining faithful to God, there's nothing higher and better than that. Now, to go and to go out there and continue to sin and like profess your sin, confess it one after the other, and like continue to do that is not going to be helpful for the world. So I don't take part in that. I can't take part in that with a bunch of people that do that, because we have to understand that, you know, there isn't any remission for sins that are committed on purpose. So we, once you know, it's like what I've seen written on a wall, actually. They're not that people should be writing on walls, but it's like, once you know, you can't go back. It's true. Like, once you know, you just, you can't go through. And even some people have never been through that in their lives, you know. But once you know, like, if you've always known, then you've always known. But yeah, it's and it's like this, it's opened this to me. It's like, once I know and realise his lies, it's like, there's nowhere left for this to go. Unless he repents and understands the lies that he's told, repents of it, confesses and repents. Now, he's confessing to me through confession, but he's not confessing, he's not admitting to the sin of it. He's trying to evade it and constantly lie to me, as you can hear by what I've told you. So, yeah, that's confession in one way, but he's not actually, like, confessing it in the way that, you know, his spirit is confessing it. He can't lie to me, he can't lie to God. His words are confessing it without meaning to, perhaps. Do you know what I mean? The lies are becoming exposed, but it's like, you know what I mean? Unless, in that very split second he wants to tell me, that's when he got married, when I pushed him. In his mind, he made that commitment. Now, if he turns around and says that and then repents of the evil that he did towards that person beforehand and the way that he was presenting, then, well, you know, that could be a great achievement. But at this moment in time, it's still cloudy, isn't it? And that's part of my job. It's like, it brings things to the light, can bring people into the light, can push them into the right direction. But you see, the vital cord of this, the vital important part is the truth is God, the truth and him admitting to all the lies and seeing the lies that he told there, and then saying and making some sort of clarity out of it, bringing some sort of truth to the fore about it, and then moving forward with that, and then changing his behavior so that he is no longer abusing women, and certainly that woman that he's now saying that he's married to. It's like, oh my gosh, you were saying you weren't married. So it's either one or the other. It's like realizing that perhaps, you know, maybe he has a neurological impairment, or that indeed he was lying and he is now going to change his ways. It's one or the other. But even that neurological, if it is a neurological disorder, because everything is to a certain extent, and the fact that he's presenting like that and doesn't understand that it's all clear, that his lies are clear in front of us, is like, definitely there's something wrong. It doesn't help that he doesn't entirely profess faith to God. That's all part of the shebang of the actual absurdity of what he's going through, and that confusion of the devil, that satanic realm. That's the bane on our society, are people like that, behaving like that. I mean, you heard when I said, look, you're insulting yourself, because not only is he insulting that person that he's been doing that to and my intelligence and me for sitting having to listen to all the nonsense, he's insulting himself ultimately. He's insulting his own self. Oh my goodness gracious. So that was something else today, folks. 29:29 there, 11:01. Oh, I should have taken a photo. I'll take a photo now. Oh. Definitely the Trinity all over this in terms of, you know, this important message that will go out there today. Yeah, it's something else. It really is. Terrible. 30. Oh my goodness. The Trinity was all over that. I'm gonna see if this goes up to like 30 minutes and 30 seconds while still 11:01. Would that make sense? No, it doesn't. It wouldn't. No. I knew. We were long past that by that time. But yeah, 11:02 at this point. 30 minutes, 25 seconds, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Well, that is interesting. So that's what's been going on with this long conversation. See, these types of projects or these type of situations I have, they help to advance society. Like if I wasn't standing in this area of sovereignty and therefore like passing and making the judgment calls, we wouldn't be advancing as a society. And I'm sorry, but a bunch of guys putting up a figurehead that is nothing to do with it isn't, you know, I mean, it's going to be helpful to a certain extent. God can use everything, but it's nothing in comparison to the real sovereign and that of God speaking through us. These types of revelations are sure to help society. I hope it does turn him around. Again, I thought, well, you know, I mean, unless he was trying to test me and what I was saying, if everything that he is saying, even though there were a lot of lies that he was bringing up, if that is actually his truth in terms of not his truth, but his presenting, he isn't pretending to go through all these things and make up all these lies, but these lies are actually, it is true that he's lying and he's in that situation, and it's not just a test of me, then indeed, what he has been doing is really, really, absolutely 100% not good for society, not good for him, for the person that he's been dealing with. But let's hope things somehow turn around. Again, it depends if he's going to make that connection, if it really is really he's been going through all of that. And what he's presenting, even all the lies, are actually what he's meaning to present, then yeah, it's been awful. But that is part of my life, is dealing with people like that, going through these situations and turning them around. Over this past while, he's utilized an abundance of photography of him with other people and the links to them in particular, almost as a justifier or justification. So no one else is able to do what I do who isn't sovereign. You have to honestly be sovereign to do this, because you can't idolize, you can't have anyone coming to you who is going to be like, oh, look who I rub shoulders with. Oh, yeah, the figurehead, in terms of the visual figurehead, but not the actual. Well, I'm sorry, but you're talking to the sovereign with God. No one's above. I don't put anyone above or between me and God. So it takes for me to stand in that situation and that reality to be able to deal with people like this. No one else would be able to do this. I know it. They would fall into idolatry and suck up the lies. That's why I'm chosen, because I don't do that and I stay truthful to God, and no one ever gets between me and God. That's what makes me sovereign, and it is a huge task to bear. But I'm thankful, due to God, not myself merely alone, that I do it very, very well. To the glory of God and to the help of all humanity. Now, it's not easy. I have just literally sat there and cried You know, you cry for yourself because you're like, why do I have to go through all this? Why are these people coming to me? Of course they're coming because I'm the one that's holding that light. And the love of God, not just the light in terms of love. Well, Satan can hold the light too, you know, and be an angel of light. You have to be more than that. It has to be the full love of God in terms of being able to actually deal with that. Because someone can hold light in that, see that light and be like, I'm in absolute like tear you to pieces right now. So rather than that happening, that man now has that capability to make vital changes in his life. Whereas if he told that to someone that was satanic, God help, I tell you, wouldn't he last very long, right? You know what I'm talking about? So it needs to be, you know, coming to someone that is more capable. And that is myself, thankfully, not just myself humanly, but because of God. So all glory to God, right? And all thanks be to God. That's that. It's been wonderful, wonderful, wonderfully awful experience. But, yeah. There we go. Now, this is a huge extra piece I'm adding on to this. I think it's vital. I'm going to actually have to re-listen to this again because, as I say, it wasn't recorded. The rest of this wasn't recorded today. It was recorded well before. I'm just adding this piece in because of how well it fitted. That this is actually on today and this is a culmination point of a situation that this entirely pertains to, but has not meant to be. It wasn't planned that way. In other words, I didn't think, oh my gosh, this is going to happen today. But the Holy Spirit clearly is an amazing prophet. And there we go. It's very dangerous to treat women with disrespect. Very dangerous. It's not good for society, as I said, and it's not good for that, even the person doing it, let alone the person they're doing it to. You know, women are not, I know what people say, women should be actively considering how they feel about themselves so that they are not susceptible to abuse, for sure, not susceptible to being used, not susceptible to unforeseen prostitution, in other words, going with the lack the lust of the flesh to the point where they're being abused or they're letting themselves be abused, right? It's a tricky one for women too, but ultimately, yeah, they do. We all need to think about that, about you know, are we letting someone use us? That's not right. And like thinking about the responsibility that we have, like not just lust, allowing lust of the flesh to take over, but thinking deeply about what that does to ourselves and the community. But overall, I put the responsibility on men because I know people want to argue about different gender, they, them, it, he, she, whatever. But the reality and the truth of the matter is this, that biologically, physically, and therefore in every other way, men are the initiators. Now, I know there are different levels of a male. Not everybody is as masculine. Some are more effeminate, and they can be in different, let's say, like, not all men are going to be above all women. I understand that. But when you go into some form, shape and form of an experience where you're becoming close to a woman in that way, men, this is for you. Ultimately, you are the initiator. You must be able to see yourself as that. And if you aren't able to see yourself as that one who's going to be able to lead, it's a very good idea to back right off, because then you're putting your own self, your sanctity of life, your own self-respect, and that of the wider community and that person at risk. And, you know, it's almost like self-abuse, in other words. But ultimately, for a man to get into a situation like that, he needs to be the leader. A man biologically is the giver, the initiator, etc. Just if you look at the way that even the body is made up and how it is the way that it is, every part of that body that is masculine is the giver. It's the starter, the initiator, the leader. The woman is the receptor. So it's vitally important that men understand their leadership skills and how they can impact women and the wider society by taking that relationship with leadership seriously and respecting themselves so that they will respect others, who is to receive that respect or disrespect. So if you see where I'm coming from, men do have a lot on their shoulders, and they certainly do have more responsibility in terms of that and should be taking it seriously, because whatever they're going to initiate will have an impact on others. It does have consequences to themselves as well, as I say. It's not anything to do with anything other than fact. I have had experience of someone who tried to abuse me, and I was faithful to them the entire time, but they were coming back with, oh, you know, they were dating multiple people, and crazy, horrible, really bad, nasty things. And there would be no, like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It didn't make any sense, but the backlash on them was horrendous. The thought perhaps at running away to where they actually come from originally, or closer to where they come from originally, might make them safe, and it didn't. They would be attacked there. And now I'm not saying that everyone that has a camera, because we do have like one camera, like, but cameras can be a really good thing and are important, not always for people that are just, you know, a certain way, but this guy has to have cameras all around his house where he is because of the way that he treats other people. Now, I'm not saying, as I say, we don't do anything to other, we've had actually situations happen to us, so we've had like a camera installed. I'm not saying everyone that has a camera is like that, but he is kind of bringing it on for sure himself by the way that he treats women. And he's continued to go on and just leave women in the dust and be a really bad influence towards, like, you know, other people, children, etc. It's a bad influence to children growing up as well, seeing that behaviour. But he has continued, as I say, to abuse women, and his own life is at threat and at stake, because these things actually, people's lives matter, and abusing women like that definitely does have serious consequences. Not just for the women that are involved, like, through being abused like that, but it actually has a really big consequence on the abuser as well, to the fact that, as you can see, like, that he was being attacked even there. And it's not anything apart from a fact. These are all facts. That's what's been happening. It's just fact. So it does have really big consequences. In India, I think rapists or abusers in general of women actually get hung. But here, other males tend to take action against the other male abusers, or the men that are abusers. Males who are abusing women, other men will tend to take action against those guys. So it's a very serious and dangerous situation. It's certainly not one that children should be allowed to be around. And I think it's horrible what some members of the government have allowed or facilitated in terms of that to take place. I think it's disgraceful, and there will be consequences against them as well, for sure. I really just hope that men in general, more men and even more men, will come to greater resolution with regards to how they think about themselves and how they treat others. I am so thankful for the guys that we have round about us. I don't want to say proud in a like, oh my gosh, look at me, because it's them, and I'm really happy, let's put it that way, for a lot of our kind of guys round about in our community. Really pleased with many of them, not everybody, but many of them, especially some of our excellent role models, as I say, within the rugby team. And perhaps that's a big thing, perhaps that's partly why I'm drawn in and around there as well, because we have such amazing role models. In fact, I'm not going to say I was going to call someone out for being such a great role model, but I think perhaps you'll find more than just one. So I'm going to keep it at that. I'm going to now get ready to just move on from this one today. But that was a long conversation. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you take as much out of this as I have been able to. It's been an emotional thing to go through. But I've passed the test, and is that what a pro the test is? Someone that can stand through it? Well, I don't say no to every aspect of the church. I say yes to all that is right, and anything that is not right, I disregard, and I go on and I will lead in the name of Jesus Christ and do what is right by Christ. And that is to stand in the love of God, to know the love of God, and to share it, to hope for the best for humanity and encourage the same sense of love and self-respect, and then in doing so, respect for others, and to grow and deepen and develop the community's respect for each other out into the wider community that is our world at large. Some people might say, you know, these conspiracy theorists about the new world order. Oh my gosh, if you think that love, self-respect, and respect for others, and that been encouraged throughout the world, is something wrong, there's something wrong with you. So that's what I have to say on that one, by the way. It can only be a good thing that we encourage more and more respect throughout the entire world. And it has to happen inside. And that's why, as I'll always say and always come back to, the empowerment of people is so important, that they see their importance, that they understand what impact they have on the world. But it's having that grace as well, because the more and more we realise the importance, the more we can look back and say, oh my gosh, I did that, and that can impact in that and that and that and that and that way. So as you awaken to the importance, it's important to also know the love and the grace of God over you for that. Vitally, nothing more important than that. And that's why it's the number one command out of the new commands that were given by Christ. So, that aside, thank you so much for joining me now. I will leave you to hear the rest of this, and I'm going to have to re-listen at some point as well to the rest of it, just to remind me how it all kind of panned out. But we can see by the title here, this certain link to marriage. So first, importantly, to have any proper form of relationship, it's vitally essential to know God, to have that marriage to God, so that there can be a real, authentic, valid, respectful, 11:20, respectful and valid union, which goes on to create something great between two people, and even better for the entire community surrounding them and throughout the entire world. Now, where there are single units of people, priests, priestess, others in the consecrated life, set apart, me as a sovereign, this is a little bit even more set apart in some ways. It's so vitally important to understand the love of God and that three-stranded cord that we already hold within, and honour it. You know, people are going to come to us. that don't understand that, that they can't honour it because they're not honouring God within themselves, it's going to be difficult. And we have to maintain that light despite their lack thereof of it. And I just send all the blessings between us that have to go through that and that have to help other people through that are really abusive or think that they can somehow get one over on us or even abuse us perhaps or our family. And it's like, no, you don't. God help us all to maintain those respectful boundaries, no matter who these people are trying to make out or how they're trying to make out that I'm so this or I'm so that. All right, okay. And that is good if they are genuinely brilliant. But, you know, here in this case where I was hearing from someone else and they were turning out to be actually abusing someone and then still haven't confessed that that is inappropriate and then go on to say, hey, by the way, in case you want someone to speak to your, the last person I want to speak to my child when you're going around abusing women, disrespecting yourself and others and insulting. It's like, no. He's saying that's insulting to call someone a prostitute. He's just been calling them a prostitute the entire time. It is crazy. 50-50, not verbally, obviously, but by the way that he's expressing how he treats them, right? Okay, so thank you so much once again, everybody. We're now approaching the 60-minute mark. This has been a long one today. Thanks be to God for this great gift that we have, and many blessings. Welcome to Love Lighthouse podcast and this broadcast for Wednesday, the 7th of September 2022. I'm going to continue in the same way. Yesterday, I was getting Luke and Genesis and I didn't say about Genesis. So I'm going to go to that now. I'm getting 12, 14. Okay. And it says here, and Salah lived 30 years and begat Eber. I'm going to look into these two names because I think there's a significance in this. Basically, this is looking at the different generations here. As the Lord, it says here, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, it is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to 14 on the very first page as well of Genesis 1, just to see and double check. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. Okay, no, I'm gonna stick with this, which is 14, and verse 12. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I've got a different part here. I need to listen to this again.
So what's happened here is I've obviously gone to look up 12 and 14. And what's happened is it's not gone on to 12. It's happened a couple of times, but I've corrected it and I'm going to correct it again. But I still think that must be coming up for a reason. It didn't actually move on. The button again didn't move on to 12. So it was staying on 11, but I was going on as if it had moved on. And so it was actually being read from 11 there. And that's why I got that first part. And then the second part must have gone on too far. Now we're going to go exactly to 12. And this is it now, definitely Genesis 12 and then 14. And it says this: "And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair." Okay. Well, this is interesting. Let's get into this. Okay. What happens as a result? Right. Remembering this is so important. And this is why it is vital that we do have Christ. Very, very important. Because this, again, is way back at the beginning, right? So let's hear what happened. Let's hear what happened. "And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous to the land, in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Sarah," right? "Okay. Behold now, I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commanded her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entered Abram well for her sake, entreated rather, and he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and asses and menservants and maidservants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, in other words, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had." The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. It's really vitally important. And this is something that's so essential to understand, that you can't really be lying to people about who is actually your wife and who is not, and making out that, you know, because you're worried about yourself, that, you know, your wife is beautiful or something like that, then you're going to turn around and just pretend to people that she's not your wife because you think that you're going to be killed as a result. That is not a life or a marriage based in Christ. Has long before that. And not only does it have a bad impact for you, think of how that was, that Sarah had been treated by Pharaoh. You know, how must it have been for her to go through that? That's disgusting. Almost to be treated like a prostitute. But not only was that bad for her and disrespectful, Abraham is just, that was disgusting. But not only was it bad to her, but it was really bad to the Pharaoh, who, you know, he just assumed was going to behave in such a way, and he had no intention to behave that way. So, well, in some ways, though, I suppose it showed Pharaoh straight up that there was going to be problems if he, you know, took Sarah as his wife in a way that wasn't appropriate in any way, shape, or form. Because even in death, if the death had been, you know, if death had been put upon Abraham because of that, then obviously that wouldn't have been a fair way to then go about having a wife, to have Sarah in that way either. So there would probably be great plagues and things put upon them still, even so. It's any way in which you are going about marriage, whether you're lying about it in one way or another. If it's invalid, it's invalid, and it's going to cause a great amount of stress for everybody involved. You should never do that. You should always make sure that you're telling the truth and being open and just about marital, spousal situations. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.